Everyone, welcome back to the Weekly Business Podcast by Rui. So today I'm joined by Noah Bragg, who's the founder of Potion. So hi, Noah. Would you be able to kind of briefly explain to the audience who you are and what you do?
Yeah, sure. Thanks, Rui. Glad to be here. I've been kind of just building, creating things for multiple years now. Probably the last 6 or 7 years, I've always had some side products, some business that I'm working on. And I'm a software developer by trade. And so I've been building mostly software products and SaaS and stuff like that. And the last 2 years, I kind of got more so into indie hacking and wanting to build a business where it doesn't have to be something that's like a huge scale where I'm not making like a unicorn startup or anything like that. But the goal is really to build an online business that at least works for me, and maybe I can grow it to be, you know, maybe have a small team or something like that. Trying to just make a profitable, valuable business that's valuable to other people. And so my product right now is Potion, and that's a website builder that's built on top of Notion. So it kind of it hosts a website, allows you to customize your site, add styles, things like that. But all the content that you add to it is from Notion. And so you can write all your things in Notion, and it will kind of just update, and that's your website. That's a little bit about me. I really love creating things and building things, and I try to share kind of what I'm doing transparently on Twitter.
Could you touch on what's your advice for people who want to start sharing stuff on Twitter, start sharing about the projects they're building? So what would you say is like the types of content that they should be posting?
Yeah, so I'd really say just, you know, share things that you're learning kind of as you go, because those learnings could be valuable to other people. So you really just want to try to think of what things could be helpful to others in their journey in building things, and kind of share those kind of things that you're learning. And then, you know, it's always fun to share like progress on your own product, because other people can kind of see how things are going. And that's kind of part of like the build in public kind of stuff that we see a decent amount of people doing on Twitter now. Just like sharing what's valuable, things you're learning, and hopefully that is something that other people can learn as well. Another thing I like to do is, you know, if there's something you don't know, you can just ask a question of like, okay, how do you do this thing? And there's probably someone on Twitter that has a good answer to that, but then everyone else kind of gets to learn with you, and people can go through the responses and kind of learn that way. So yeah, that's at least how I like to do it. Just being very transparent, open about the ups and downs of what's going on in your business and how things are going. And I think, you know, if people see that you're kind of sharing the highs and the lows, they're more likely to want to support you and kind of have your back, because they can kind of, it's almost like they kind of are joining in with you on your journey, and they get to kind of follow along and feel like they're part of it in a way. And so they want you to succeed then. And so that can be really helpful, and just helpful to having support in what you're doing and learning from other people. So that's why I think it's a really beneficial thing. Those are some thoughts on that.
It's some really valuable points. And I think the biggest takeaway for me today was to share things that you're learning as you grow, and as you kind of grow as a creator, as you grow as a business person, to share all those nitty-gritties that you're learning with your audience, because you never know who's going to find value in what you share. And so my next point is, so in your introduction, you kind of mentioned something on indie hackers. So I would like for you to kind of explore, like, what is indie hackers, and like, how can somebody become an indie hacker? And could you kind of share your thoughts on the space and any kind of trends that you see?
Yeah, for sure. Yeah. So, I mean, I think indie hackers has kind of been a term that's kind of been created around the idea of building a business more so for the freedom of building a business. Trying to build a business that allows you to kind of spend your time the way you want, enjoy what you're doing. And it's not necessarily like go towards growth at all stops and grow like a ginormous business. In a lot of cases, indie hackers are like solo entrepreneurs that are just trying to create an online business by themselves. And it's definitely a movement that's, I think, grown a lot in the last couple of years. I know like Courtin Allen, who kind of started it with indiehackers.com, kind of talked about how, like, when he started indiehackers.com, there was like not many people doing this kind of thing. And so it's just grown a lot over the last couple of years where people realize like, oh, I can like build a business online, make good money and enjoy the process, enjoy what I'm doing, create products that I want to create. And so yeah, it's a lot of is kind of like trying to get away from like the 9-to-5 job, having to work at a corporate business and being able to work on the things that you want to work on and enjoying that. So yeah, it's a lot of fun, and I definitely recommend it.
I think the biggest takeaway here in this segment was what you mentioned on freedom and kind of getting away from the 9-to-5 jobs. So my next question is, so what was your experience like building and scaling Potion? Any kind of lessons and mistakes or anything you'd like to share with the audience today?
Yeah. So, I mean, I think one of the things that helped me a lot that kind of goes along with what we were just talking about is just being able to persist throughout the whole process of, you know, if you're building something that you really enjoy, and which I do with Potion, and I really enjoy the community, I really enjoy the customers I have. They're the kind of people that I want to talk to and be around. And so that kind of gives me the ability to just kind of keep working, keep on being motivated to make progress. And that, you know, is definitely needed to get a business to where it needs to be to grow and to do well. And so, yeah, that was definitely something I think that helped me. It was just enjoying the work, enjoying the product I was making, so that I could keep working on it, keep making it better. And so that definitely helped with getting the business to where it is today. The other thing that's definitely helped me is the building in public that we've been kind of talking about. I started building in public with Potion from the very beginning. And I would make these like little couple minute videos where I would show kind of the progress, show like some of the decision points that I had made with building Potion. And I did that from the very beginning. Like the very first day I started working on Potion, I tweeted about it and said that I'm going to start working on a new SaaS. And then people started following along that journey. And so that definitely was valuable and helpful to Potion, because kind of like I was saying, where people wanted to support the business because they kind of felt like they're along for the journey. And, you know, I think that helped with like word of mouth, people on Twitter, like sharing that, you know, if they saw anyone ask about, oh, how do you build a website? What ways to do this with Notion? They would reply with Potion and they'd want to help me out in that way. So I think it definitely helped out with that and just kind of spread word of mouth about what I was building and that this was an option as a solution for people. So that definitely helped out a lot. Let's see, the probably like 2 months after I launched, I like publicly launched, I then launched on Product Hunt, and that went really well. I think that also kind of similarly went well because of the building in public, where people wanted to go and support my launch on Product Hunt because of me building in public on Twitter. And so then that kind of started another kind of effect where my Product Hunt launch got first of the day and then ended up getting first of the week. And I think it ended up like third of the month. But that kind of started another wave that made me grow like in about 750 to 1,000 MRR within a month after that Product Hunt launch. So that was like a nice little boost to kind of get things going. And then I feel like Potion was just kind of known in the Notion space a little bit better after that. So that definitely helped with kind of scaling, getting new people in the door. And really since then, it's been kind of the SEO of Potion. Like I've been working on the SEO, that's been slowly getting better. And so a lot of people now find Potion through like searching on Google, things like that, which is definitely a great way to get customers, because, you know, once you put in the work in the beginning to get your SEO to a good spot, it's not necessarily something that you have to put a ton of time and effort into. It's kind of a passive thing at that point. So that's been really great and kind of been my newest way of getting customers now. So yeah, that's kind of a quick look at how it kind of grew, how I scaled and got customers. So hopefully that answered your question there.
So my question, I think the biggest takeaway was to build in public from day one. So being a more journey-based account than just like any kind of post that you want to post. So my next question is, what if you were to restart it all over again, so what would be your advice and your approach on how to acquire the first 100 customers?
Yeah, I mean, I think that basically getting your first 100 customers is really difficult, obviously. That's why it's challenging. It's something that, you know, everyone's trying to figure out, because it is hard. And like for me, probably the same things that I did, you know, with Potion might not necessarily work now, just because it's a different time. You know, it might be a different market that I'm in. Obviously, like now with kind of the Twitter following that I've grown, that would definitely help with me kind of starting out something. But that's not necessarily the case if I'm building a product kind of in a different market that my followers don't really care about. So that's definitely something to think about, I think, with the building in public, is typically people that like following along, build in public kind of stuff, are other founders, other makers, other indie hackers. And so if you're serving that kind of audience, then that can make a lot of sense for you, where you can get those people to see what you're doing and see the valuable content from that, because it is valuable to that kind of audience. And then they might end up wanting to use your product as well. And you don't have to sell them on it too much. Where, you know, if you had a product that was outside of that, like building in public might not help or be as valuable to your business, just because it's a different audience. So yeah, I think really it's a situation by situation based on your market, what's kind of your target audience of people that could use your tool. And so I think that's what I'd really focus on first, is like, okay, what is the kind of person that needs this problem solved that I'm solving? And then trying to figure out where those people hang out. Like, where do they hang out online? What communities are they in? How can I, you know, start to talk to them and just like start to listen to them, hear their problems, so that you can start to learn how they talk, what things they care about. And that's kind of, I guess, the place that I would start. And I think even when like coming up with ideas and stuff, those are some of the questions I would start with and look at, is, you know, really it's a question of distribution. Like, how are you going to get this product out to people, and where are the places that I can find them? And so that's really what I'd start with. And, you know, it would look different for everybody, but, you know, I think in a lot of ways, something that hopefully can work in a lot of markets is just creating valuable content for that community, for that that kind of target audience. And I would almost, if I was to build another business, I would probably build something around that, like around like a blog or content that I can kind of start with that and start on the distribution side of getting the people that have the problem that I'm going to potentially, you know, eventually solve, making content that's valuable to them, and start kind of building that audience almost first before just building a product. I think that could be a pretty good strategy that I would maybe try next time. But yeah, that's hopefully that gives at least some ideas or some insights into, you know, the finding the 100, getting your first 100 customers. I mean, I think it's a lot of it is, you know, listening to your customers, understanding their needs, and then, you know, knowing where they hang out, how you can get in contact with them. You know, in some ways, just like reaching out to people individually, I think it can be a good way to start, especially for like B2B, where, you know, you're getting in contact with people at a company that, you know, maybe it's specific, maybe specific positions at companies that, you know, they're kind of the decision maker for using the tool that you're, or the software that you're building, the product you're building. That can always, I think, be a good way to start with B2B, is really just kind of getting your hands dirty and DMing people, messaging people, trying to get conversations with those people so that you can kind of start to build a little bit of a network of those kind of customers that have the problems you're solving. So that's some ideas. I know I didn't, you know, it wasn't like a straightforward answer of, you know, do A and B and everything works out. But honestly, I don't think I don't think most businesses are built that way.
That was some great advice. I think you shared a good point on the power of DMs, and building something around the content is definitely a very interesting point that you'd mentioned. So yeah, so thanks for sharing that. And my next point is, so what's your kind of take on the creator economy?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's a pretty awesome thing because it, you know, typically it's people building businesses around things that they enjoy, things that they're interested in. And so it's really cool that creators get to build their business, their work around those kind of things. And, you know, it's obviously been growing and growing as just the internet economy has grown and more people are spending time online. So yeah, it's a really cool thing. And yeah, it's definitely not easy though. You know, there's nowadays, like, I think there's just more and more people that are trying to kind of build like their own like audience, their own kind of business. And so it's a little bit crowded now. I mean, even like the Building Public we were talking about, you know, I think when I started Building Public, it wasn't really a popular thing. There wasn't many other people doing it. And then in 2020 is when that really kind of blew up and everyone was kind of doing it. So now it's kind of hard to get your voice out there because there's so many people kind of doing the same things. And I think that's kind of true with the creator economy as well. But it's obviously not going anywhere. Like it's going to keep growing. It's something that people enjoy. And, you know, if you're making something valuable, for others, then, you know, that's going to stick around. That's going to eventually work if you keep at it. And there's going to be a lot of businesses created that way.
Any thoughts on trends in the creator economy?
I mean, there hasn't been some big trends. I mean, one of the things that I think is, it's just kind of been typical for indie hackers, at least, is typically indie hackers are building tools like businesses to kind of help other businesses, which I think makes a lot of sense. That's kind of a sweet spot for indie hackers. I think, you know, it's really hard to build a business for consumers, especially if you have a small team, you know, it's just yourself. And, you know, you don't have as much marketing power and stuff like that. So typically like SaaS businesses that are tools is kind of what indie hackers are kind of going for. And then trends, I mean, obviously with the creator economy, I think NFTs and Web3 kind of stuff has kind of been like a big trend that is kind of making waves this last year, that, you know, creators are trying to see how they can be a part of that and jump in on that. And so that's been pretty interesting to follow along and watch and see as there's been innovations being made there. So that's been really cool. But yeah, that's probably about all the trends I'm seeing. I guess I'm not necessarily looking out for those things all the time, but yeah.
What are your thoughts on NFTs?
Yeah, I think it's really interesting. It's really cool. You know, it's kind of fun. Well, not fun. It's just kind of interesting, I guess, to see how, at least on Twitter, I've definitely seen, there seems like there's 50% of people that are really kind of against NFTs and against all that. And then there's, you know, obviously a lot of people that are for it. So it's kind of been interesting to watch kind of that conflict and the kind of the back and forth there. But I'm kind of a fan of it. I mean, I think there's obviously lots of problems in NFTs. There's lots of, And I think that's maybe just kind of expected, where whenever you have a new thing, there's new technologies, there's going to be lots of people jumping into it just for the money. And, you know, lots of people that are just using it as a way to scam people. And so there's a lot of stuff to watch out for, because it's kind of like the Wild West. And so, you know, a lot of people are kind of against it for those reasons. But I kind of see things optimistically. And I think that they're, you know, it's just, it's in an immature stage right now, but I think it's going to mature a lot and there's going to be a lot of innovations that are going to come out of it. And so that's why I'm just like very interested in learning about it and seeing what's going on. I bought my first NFT back in last September. And ever since then, I just started learning more about it. And then I kind of wanted to learn more how the tech worked. And so then I dove kind of deep into that. And then I started like learning how to code smart contracts and even code NFTs. And so it's been a lot of fun. And it's just really interesting technology, because it's just very different from kind of what we're used to. So it's been a really fun thing for me just because, you know, I like learning in general. So this has been a fun thing to learn about. So yeah, I'm all for NFTs, but I think, you know, obviously it's something to be careful about and people should do the research and be careful when they're buying NFTs and stuff like that.
Fantastic. I think your last point on being very careful and doing your due diligence on the NFTs you're buying is a very, very important point, because sometimes it can be easy to be swayed by those like celebrities and influencers out there. So my next point is, so what's your the kind of future for Potion?
Yeah, so I went full-time on Potion around 2 months ago. And so that was a really exciting thing to where, you know, it was a side project the first year, but now I get to work on it full time, which I'm really excited about. But there's still a lot of work to do. And so I'm spending, you know, my days working on Potion, making it better. Right now, I'm actually in the middle of doing a migration where I'm migrating all my sites to a different service for their custom domains. And so that's just going to make things more stable, which will be great. And then kind of the next big project is a dashboard V2, just making a new slick dashboard that is going to have some new features, new customizations, but be, yeah, a lot nicer to use, have some new things that allow people to do more with their websites. And so I'm really looking forward to getting to that and just creating some new features that are valuable to my customers. And then after that, the hope is that I'll feel really good about where Potion is at as a product, so that then I can start spending some more time marketing, spend some more time on SEO, getting more traffic to Potion and getting more people to hear about it. And so that's kind of the plan. Hopefully I can do all that in the next couple months, and then we'll kind of see where things go from there.
And I wanted to wrap it up by you kind of sharing a bit on what City Clash NFT, and could you share a bit with the audience?
Yeah, so this is a new NFT project that me, my friend Ben and Drew are working on. So the three of us are working on it. And, you know, we haven't really shared what the idea is yet. We're kind of keeping it a little under wraps for a little bit longer. And just the reason for that is I think in the NFT space, because it's a newer thing, and it's a kind of an immature kind of market, I think ideas are actually a little more valuable in markets at that time, because, you know, there's just new things that are coming out, new things that are happening. And, you know, eventually it'll be more about the execution. And so people will just probably share what their NFT that they're building is, because it's more about just them executing on that. And, you know, everything under the sun will probably have been kind of heard of, maybe. But we're really trying to do an innovative kind of new idea using some new mechanics that we haven't really seen before with NFTs. And so that's why we just haven't shared much about it publicly, just because we don't want someone else to see our idea and then just go do it before us. Because we think that the, you know, what we're building will be really cool, that the kind of the idea of what we're doing, I think, will be kind of fascinating to people, which will be fun. But it's called City Clash. And so, you know, it has to do something with cities. And so that's the plan. And it will kind of be like a little game that with cities that's all on the blockchain. So, you know, some games and mechanics, there'll be maybe parts of it on the blockchain, but then the rest of it's off the blockchain. And so with our game, it's going to be all on the blockchain, which, you know, just kind of gives trust to what we're doing, that, you know, once we put it up there, it's just going to kind of work as is, and no one's going to have to worry about us changing things to make the game different or things like that. So it'll all be on the blockchain, but it'll be, you know, a pretty simple game with NFTs. And so, yeah, I'm really excited to get it out there. And we're kind of hoping to do that in maybe a month or so. We'll see. We're still kind of building it behind the scenes, and then we're building a community in Discord around it, which is, you know, the community is, I think we're just learning more and more just how important the community is that you build around your NFT, that you make it an enjoyable place and fun for people. And so, yeah, that's at least a little bit about City Clash, and hopefully, you know, eventually I'll be able to share more, and I'll definitely be sharing more on Twitter.
Yeah, thanks for sharing about that. I'll definitely be keeping on the lookout for what you're doing with City Clash. So I wanted to kind of get your take on community building. So what's your advice, and how do you kind of approach community building?
I mean, so I haven't done a ton of community building necessarily. You know, just kind of getting some of my first taste of it with this Discord community that we're building for City Clash. The other kind of experience I've had with it is I built a Twitter community. I don't know if you've heard of Twitter communities, but it's kind of a new feature with Twitter. But I built the first, or helped build the first Notion community on Twitter. And we got that up to 1,000 people. But really, I don't know, I feel like my approach would kind of be just creating valuable things for the community that, you know, that brings them in when they see something valuable, and then, you know, they'll want to stick around because they keep getting value. So that can really depend on what, you know, what niche your community is built in, but, you know, figure out the things in their community that are valuable to them. And, you know, maybe that has to do with connecting people and having fun events for them to get to know each other in the space and kind of keep them around. So that's kind of the goal with communities, and especially what we're trying to do is make a community where people can get to know each other, network, and have some fun in the process.
I think those are some excellent points, and I loved your point on creating valuable things for the community that lures them in and also helps to retain them. So yeah, those were questions for today.